There's been mud on my soul. There's been anger inside me. There's still unforgiven deeds that now it's time to free. I've been trapped inside so long. Don't remember how to live. How much of life has passed me by as I slept inside my dreams. Oh yes, sip the waters too. Let them wash all over you.
Chapter 10, verse number 17 and 18. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." And a person came and asked, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why you calleth me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. There is none but one Lord, one God." And when we forget that, Maya takes advantage. The fall of man is the journey of forgetfulness. When you forget who you are, the fall starts. What is my real treasure? What is my real role? My nature? My belonging? When I forget the real, the unreal takes hold of me. The enemy is very cunning, smart. You never know unless and until you have become bankrupted. A man was sleeping, and suddenly, in the dead of the night, he hears some voice, some quarrel happening outside his house. So he rushes to see what is happening. And he sees two men are fighting with each other in the dead of the night. So the man takes his shawl and goes out to see what is happening. And when he reaches that place, one of the men snatches his shawl and runs away. Both of them run away. So he comes back and his wife asks, "What happened?" He says, "I don't know. When I went there, they snatched away my shawl and their quarrel stopped. But they ran away. So why were they fighting?" They were not fighting, in fact. So we never know unless and until we get trapped that we are already trapped. The prison is invisible. The chances of escape are slim. How to get freedom from these prisons or prison? A prison librarian asks a convict, "What are you reading?" He says, just the usual escape literature. Just the usual escape literature. It is usual. Prisoners have been reading this from long time. But yet, and yet, and yet, there is no escape. So one has to accept, first of all, that we are really incarcerated. There must be a way. There must be a method. And as I said, the prison is invisible, impregnable. Very difficult to penetrate or to escape. So what is the method? What to do? Every man is as if in a prison. Self-made prison. Self-created bondage. Self-designed captivity. How to free oneself from this captivity? We must learn first of all how we became prisoner. So it is the forgetfulness that led to this imprisonment. Forgetfulness of what? Of one's own nature, of one's own real name, real role, real responsibility. And then you understand something new. And then you realize something very deeply. Spirituality is not about knowing others. It's about knowing one's own nature, one's own reality. Who am I? I am not one person. But they say that man is multi-psychic, bahuchittavan. He is divided. In the morning he is different. In the afternoon he is different. By evening he is different. At night he is entirely different. In fact, absolutely unpredictable. The multi-psychic personality. So every soul, every man has got so many layers. In the morning he says, I love you so much. By afternoon he has got sense of indifference. By evening he is full of hatred. At night, repentance. Who am I? Out of these, such a dichotomy, such a division of personality. So the task is not about knowing what is happening outside. The task is about knowing who am I and what are my different layers of personality. So watch your own behavior. How you behave with strangers, how you behave with those whom you know, how you behave with those whom with you are attached, and how you behave with those who hate you, who insult you, who neglect you. This study is not going to tell you about others, but about yourself. So carry out this analysis, a short study, a trial. Take one day and jot down what sort of thoughts entered. When you are with a person whom you like, love, and when you are with a person you don't like at all, what happens? What subtle changes, nuances? And we will realize that we are so much divided. And then suddenly you wake up at Amritvela and you start talking with God, you are this, you are that, and you are my everything. And then you listen to Murli and this is God's word. And then throughout the day you forget him. And in the evening again you dump everything. God is not the dump. So, we come to know and realize that there is something missing. And that missing dimension is he himself, God. His knowledge, whatever he has taught. When we forget that, all the disturbances take place. The goal is first come to self-consciousness and then move towards God consciousness. Soul consciousness leading to supreme soul consciousness. And we have heard so many times in Murli this line. None but one. The moment a third person enters, the disturbance starts. The moment the third person enters, the third eye gets closed. This is a unique relationship of soul with supreme soul. The entry of the third leads to disturbance. But how to keep this intact, this relationship? The third person is visible. You can see him, you can talk to him. He responds. But here, God is invisible. And sometimes his words don't reach or are inaudible. So definitely, there must be something more. There are souls who love God like anything, selflessly and completely, wholeheartedly. But such is not the case with everyone. Not everyone is born with love of God in the heart. Not everyone is born with eternal vairagya. People are born, they get attached, they lead a normal, ordinary, material life, and then something happens and then they turn towards God. This is the usual course. They lead worldly life, get attached, and then a shock happens and then they come to God. Or a sudden realization, then they move towards God. Or they are born in a family which is God-loving right from the childhood, but they themselves never loved. It was just a ceremonial to go to the center, to sit there. That's it. The intensity of love was never there. There are only and only few chosen souls who go out to seek Him and to love Him beyond everything. And they realize the futility of all the worldly love, and they realize the uselessness and the worthlessness of everything that is there in this mundane world. Enough is enough. Right from their childhood, they know that. We cannot again get trapped because the memories of the previous births are there. But such a case cannot be with everyone. So, none but one is a realization also and a sadhana also. Both things. It can be a natural and automatic outpouring of a loving heart, as well as it is an effort, it is a practice, it is a habit to be inculcated, it is a practice that requires long-term commitment. So none but one is a habit, it's a practice, it's a sadhana, and for some souls it is natural, but it cannot be with everyone. So Baba says none but one. There are 8 major relationships we have with Baba. First, his father. He is the loving father. A father who gives inheritance. There is a sister who recounts her experience. When she came to Madhuban for the first time, Baba was telling her, "You are this, you are that, you are this." And she started thinking, "Am I really so?" Baba said, "You are courageous. You are lioness." And she started thinking, am I? And Baba said, "If you think so much, then I will also give you inheritance. Soch ke. With lot of thoughts and thinking." He is the father, a loving father, who loves, who chides, who cannot see any imperfection in his children. Bible says man is made in the image of God. So all are his images, and his images should be a reflection of he himself. Perfect. Each one of us is a portrait painted by God. A masterpiece. Picasso is said to be one of the biggest and the greatest painters. Picasso. Once there was an exhibition and his painting was displayed. And so many people gathered around and they were praising, "Oh, what is this? What is this?" They were trying to understand his paintings because his paintings used to be absurd, very difficult to understand. And they were praising, "The painting is so good, so good, so good, so good." And he comes and he says, "Who kept this painting upside down?" So even if it is upside down, people know it is Picasso's. So it must be perfect, though nobody is understanding what is it. But it is Picasso's, that is enough. So it is God's, that is enough. There is no question. of its being imperfect, incorrect, erroneous. So the first relation is father. In Murli, we have heard many times that Laukik father takes you towards vices. The Alaukik takes you towards the world of vicelessness. The second relationship, he is the teacher, the greatest, the ultimate, the final, who teaches the eternal mystery of life. No teacher can teach this, what this teacher is teaching. So the student must be so sincere to know, to understand that inquisitiveness, that smartness, that curiosity. He is the preceptor, guru, the ultimate guru, the final guru, who teaches the path of liberation. Liberation is not about going into heaven and attaining some liberation there. Liberation is here and now. Liberation from the confusion. Liberation from the indecision. Liberation from boredom. Liberation from that loneliness, which is so dark. Liberation from the sorrow, from the addictions, from the habit, from the pattern, from the conditioning, from the programming. He comes to destroy the old program and create a new program. It's about deprogramming and reprogramming. God is a smart IT guy. He understands all the softwares that got automatically installed in you. The fourth is his beloved, the bridegroom. And here comes the bridegroom. And the bridegroom is here. Where are you going? The brides are ready. The bridegroom is ready. He is the friend. Unfriend. Unfriend. Unsubscribe. Delete. Uninstall. Block. Reject. Put in spam. Reject. Unaccept. Unfollow. The worldly friends. Remove. Archive. Mark as read. And now make friendship with new. A walk into the new. The friend request has already come to you. Just accept. So he is the friend. Then he is mother. The supreme mother. The divine mother. Then he is the supreme child. So these are the eight relationships. Seven. He's the mother, he's the father, he's a teacher, he's preceptor, he's a child, he's beloved, and he's child. Child is done. Only seven? Friend? Friend is also done. What is remaining then? Brother, sister. He's your elder brother. Beloved and bridegroom are same. They are same. In fact, there are three divisions there. Before marriage, he is your beloved. Then he is bridegroom, and then your husband post marriage. So there are three here. Which is better or best? Then before is better? Okay, so there is a possibility of marrying another guy. Yeah, the love is intense. Yeah, that's why this. The love is intense. Romeo, Juliet, they never got married. All those lovers, pairs, they never got married. Good that they did not get married. Had they been got married, probably they would have ended in divorce. Rather they were killed, or rather they died for each other. So good that there is some barrier in the love. Intense. Intensity of the love increases when there is an opposition. When there is no opposition, there is no intensity. One couple was there. And in their old age, they realized that in their youth, they never loved. Because everything happened by the wish and will of their parents. So they decided that we should love. And then they started meeting each other secretly. And watching around, who is watching us? Because that part was missing. They started meeting each other in gardens. But while meeting, they would see if anybody is watching. So they try to compensate for the missing love in the old age. So none but one. That is the mantra. Om Shanti.